a great song as we lead into day six of creation in the book of Genesis. I'm going to ask you to turn your Bible this morning to the book of Genesis chapter 1. We're going to begin at verse 24, and we're only going to do three verses this morning. There's just a lot going on in these verses. I try to tie it all into day six into one sermon, but you would still be here at 11:30. And so it doesn't work. So I broke it out into two parts again. And so you're going to get part one of day six, and then we'll do the other part here in a few weeks. So listen to the word of the Lord. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And the God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the air, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So that's our reading for today. Remember, we're still building foundation yet, all right? Pay attention to that as I go through this series. If you're visiting with us this morning, talk to your loved one and they'll fill you in on what we've been doing here the last several weeks with the book of Genesis. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we've heard from your word this morning, Lord, day six. Lord, there is a lot going on there. And Lord, so we pray that you just reveal this to us in a new way. We pray that you bring this word to life for us this morning, that we may understand what you're doing here and that we may apply it to our daily lives as we live this Christian life. Lord, so bless those that are gathered here to hear your word today, for those that are online as well. Lord, may these words be yours and not mine. I pray you fill me with that same spirit in whom I pray today. In the name of Jesus, amen. I want to introduce you to a new word this morning. And how many of you heard of the word pinnacle? All right? Yeah, most of you do. So I have a question for you this morning. I'm hoping that you'll play along with me, but we'll see how it goes. How many, so you get the word pinnacle means like the best or the peak or the greatest moment that's happening. So I have a question for you this morning. How many believe that the Minnesota Vikings have reached the pinnacle of their season? Or do you think it's still to come? Good question, right? We won't know till, was it next week Sunday I think they play? Is that correct? If you're a Minnesota Vikings fan. So you guys know that I'm a Denver Bronco fan, and it's been a sad story for several years. So I'd have nothing to brag about. So anyway, what I want you to think about is the word pinnacle, all right? This morning, day six. Let's unpack that just a little bit. So if we think about the word pinnacle, it means the most successful point or the culmination of something. Something's coming to a head, and it's good. It's the pinnacle is what we look at this morning. And so we could use the word pinnacle to describe day six of creation. And I'll let you in on this in just a little bit as I get into this message. You'll begin to understand what's actually going on. But God left the pinnacle of his creation to be the last thing he created, and he created human beings, Adam and Eve. That's the pinnacle of creation that we're going to learn about this morning. So this means that God has a unique place and role for humanity in his creation. That's what I want you to understand this morning, all right? And so let's dig into this. On day six, God made land animals. And, of course, Adam and Eve. If you have your Bible open with you this morning, please follow along. I won't have them all on the screen, but I'll have some on the screen. This verse is up there this morning, verse 24. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kinds. And it was so. Once again, I introduced you to a new word last week. Nephesh. Do you remember that word? Nephesh, right? Meaning that God gives animals, he gives human beings life. We breathe, we have blood within us. And specifically, nephesh meaning to you and I in the human race and mankind that our soul is eternal. and we go to one place or the other, heaven or hell, right? Nefesh. Now, animals do not have a soul. They are made for our enjoyment here on the good earth. It's made for our food supply and things like that. But they do not live eternally. So I want you to think about this morning about cattle, dogs, zebras, alligators, lions, all those types of animals that you can think of this morning. They were created on day six. Day six. And so I got another trivia question for you this morning, just a little bit. How many kinds of creatures were created on day six? All right? So some scientists way smarter than me did all the work on this. And so, but I got an answer for you this morning. When I talk about kinds, remember, I'm talking about, like, remember I shared with you the equine class, right? You got horses, you got donkeys, you got zebras. Those are a kind, all right? Now, it's believed that they think that God created, now hear me this. Now, this is not biblical. This is from research. So don't go home and try to find this in the Bible. You won't. But that God created somewhere between 1,000 and 1,400 different kinds of species or groups on day six. And you could work it from there, all right? But that gives you a little bit of a tidbit of what was going on day six. I mean, even if it's 1,400 kinds, what a lot of work, right? There are a lot of things going on there. And he spoke them into existence. Now, I don't want to skip over animals and creation, but there's something bigger coming that I want to share with you this morning that is way more important. Day six, as I said, is the pinnacle of creation. Remember, the pinnacle is the high point or the most important thing. Genesis 1, verse 26, if you're following along with me this morning, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. Something special happened when God created man. I want to bring that out to you this morning. This is why we're not getting very far on day six. We're just getting into those first three verses. But here's what I want you to look at. If you see it on the screen, and God said, let there up to this point. If you go to day one, he said, let there be this, right? Let there be light. Let the water separate from the land. Let there be creatures upon the earth. Let there be darkness. Let there be day and night. Now, all of a sudden, there is a change in the verbiage that God uses in day six. When God created man, he said this, let us make mankind. And I don't know if you understand this, but at this point, God the Father is doing all the creating. He's speaking things into existence. The Trinity's there. Christ is there, the Holy Spirit is there, and now in the sin he gets to mankind, and he says, whoa, Christ, I want your input. Holy Spirit, I want your input, because what I'm about to create is the pinnacle of creation, and that's you and I, mankind. That means that you and I are very special to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Because you are the pinnacle of creation. And I was writing this week, and I was like, all right, this is going to be good, because this is all I'm going to put on it. You are the pinnacle of creation, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. I couldn't do it a third time. I think I'd start rolling it all together. But this is the importance that I need to emphasize for you this morning of who you are. Do you realize who you are in the eyes of God? Because Scripture goes on to say three more times that we are created in God's image. Nothing else is created in God's image. There's not one animal that you can find that's created in the image of God. There's no landmass that's created in the image of God. Only you and I are created in the image of God. So if you're sitting here today and you think that sometimes your life really doesn't matter, or this, or that your life is meaningless and that you have no value, or maybe that you think, you know what, my life, I think it's just a mistake. or the terrible things that you have done would cause God to love you less because you're a sinner and you've done some bad things in your life? Or if I even go a step further with you this morning, if you have contemplated suicide, or thought that people would be better off without you, I want you to know this morning that you are so, so wrong. Because you're created in the image of God. God has placed a value greater than anything else in His creation upon you. You are set apart from all creation. Nothing else is created like you. The reason He created this world is because of you. He wanted to create you and give you life. You are a masterpiece. And you are deeply, deeply loved by God. In fact, so deep that He gave you nephesh. That if you believe in Him, you can live eternally with Him forever. That's who you are. And I wonder sometimes if we often sit and we think about that this morning, about who our Creator is and who we are. Let me bring you to another question I want to share with you this morning. Oh yeah, let me jump to this one here. What does my value and being set apart look like for me? All right, when you're created in the image of God, let's talk about that just briefly. All right, verse 26 says, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so they can rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over the livestock and all the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground." You are created higher than everything else that God has created. You are the ruler of the earth. Right? Made in the image of God. Now, it's not simply that you're made in the image of God in your human body. Think about your body for a moment, all right? Your hands, your feet, the blood that's flowing through you, and those types of things. You know, if you look at it, your body at some point will be frail. It shares some similarities with the animal kingdom, right? You and I have a heart, we have blood, we breathe air, those things, we share those things. But only God has given you a mind that forms logic and reason. Only humans use language to speak to each other, both in needs and difficult situations. Right? Now, we know that animals can use objects, but they can't create objects like you can. You can build tools, you can train, you can do all kinds of things with the animal kingdom. You can write music. You can paint. You can invent machines. You can play instruments. You can run businesses. You've been given a conscience. You know the difference between right and wrong in your life. You can also express love. Unfortunately, you can also express hate or anger, right? That's the value of the triune God that He's placed on each and every one of us. When you are created in the image of God, that's what you're given. The ability to act and to do and to follow God's command in your life and to rule over the things in this world. And of course, He places each of us in different areas, doesn't He? He gives us different strengths of what we're good at and what we're a part of in this world. And that's not by accident either. A gift from God. I want to introduce you to a young man. He's probably not so young anymore. Is Emily Van Riggenmorter with us this morning? I thought, there she sits. Do you play violin or fiddle? Violin. Do you know this guy at all, Joshua Bell? All right. So, Emily, she's played violin for us before. But I'm going to talk to you about Joshua Bell. He is a very renowned, he's the best in the world. A musician that plays the violin, all right? So you can see his picture there. That's one of his album covers. And so he plays to packed audiences, and he makes upwards of $1,000 an hour when he performs. That's what he gets. All right? The violin that he's holding in his hand is a Stradivarius violin. It was built in 1713. It is one of the best-sounding violins in the world, and it's valued at $3.5 million that he plays. And this young man, at the pinnacle of his career, he was approached by the Washington Post to participate in a social experiment. So I want to talk to you about value with him this morning. So what they did is they wanted him, so he had a great concert hall that he performed in there in Washington, D.C., a couple nights earlier to this social experiment, and he performed and he earned $60,000 an hour for that concert. And he played through a set list and is a sold-out auditorium and stuff like that. And then the Washington Post says, well, we want you to come to the subway in Washington, D.C., put on some plain clothes, bring your $3.5 million violin, throw out your box. And if you look at the picture on the screen there, there's a subway entrance there in Washington, D.C. And if you look, it'd be on your left side of the picture. He's up against the wall with his violin box out there. And he plays the exact same concert that he did two nights ago. And so he's doing it for donations. Do you have any idea what he made in 1 hour? How much? $32 is what he made for doing that. A $3.5 million violin and one of the best violinists in the world. So here's my point with that story this morning. Here is your take home that I want you to know. There's going to be times in your life when you feel that you're worthless and you have no value, and you might feel like you're only worth $32 an hour. Now some of you are thinking, well, if I got paid $32 an hour, I'd be really happy, right? But not compared to $60,000 an hour when that's what he's used to making. But I want you to realize this, that you and I are worth way more than any earthly value. You're worth more than $60,000 an hour. And how do I know that? How do I know that? Because when sin entered the world, you and I had no way to enter eternity with our Creator. So what did God do? He sent Jesus Christ to this world to die on the cross for your sins that we could have eternal life, costing way more than $60,000 an hour. That's the value that he's placed on your nephesh. Do you see who you are in God? Matthew 20, verse 28 says this, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. I hope that today you realize who you are in Christ. I hope that when Satan tempts you with those terrible thoughts that you're not good enough, that you're worthless, that you remember that you're created in the image of God and what you've been given as a follower of Jesus Christ. And that you have a nephesh that can live eternally with the Father in heaven. And the Spirit in Jesus Christ. You're the pinnacle of creation, made in his image. I can't stress that enough. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, it's by your love and your grace that we can even be here today. Lord, may we understand what you've done on day six. Most of us, we might just take our life for granted. Or we might not even choose to worship you. But yet you are still our Creator. May we realize who we are when you said, let us make man. Lord, so when we leave here today, may you fill us with your Spirit. May we go here being encouraged in our faith walk, Lord. That you cover all of our sin, our brokenness, all through Jesus Christ. May we be reminded of that today. Lord, we thank you for your word. In Jesus I pray, amen.